broadcasting from inside the Jim Butler Ballroom of the beautiful Mitzvah Hotel. KFAB and Twyla's Pack and Tack Shop is proud to present Drive Time Tonopah with your host, Faye and Brenda.
What do I want to start with? Did you hear Toppy's comments about...
Yeah. Weren't they nice?
Yeah. That was
about,
nice.
Our shows are rocking the real world episode, I think he was referring to.
Yeah, and your shows too.
Yeah, yeah. That was very nice. Very nice indeed. Thank you, Toppy.
Thank you, Toppy. Now, why are you wanting to include these in our Drive Time Tonopah episode?
Because I think our Drive Time Tonopah should be about us. Up until now, the Drive Time Tonopahs have been pretty honest. They've delved into our personal lives in a serious way. And I think our little pre-show chats that we've had are pretty honest. And I want to talk to you about your own show and stuff. And I think we should record this so that we get a real honest portrayal of what goes on in our lives.
Okay. So, honestly speaking, I have to tell you about something happened with my parent. My in-laws were here for a 24-hour period.
Right. And we're ducking them out at the Dairy Queener.
Why was that Taco Bell?
Taco Bell, yeah, right.
I've never been so happy to be in a Taco Bell parking lot in all my life. People don't know unless they listen to Twitter. What happened is I'd gone swimming, and I was really thirsty because they had raised the temperature of the pool up to 92 degrees for this special geriatric fucking class they've been doing. Fuck them. God. It was terrible, but I wanted to swim. So when I got done, I went right over to Taco Bell and I got a pop. And then I'm like, I'm going to get a couple of tacos. You know, defeat the purpose of swimming in the first place, right?
Well, I mean, the reason we exercise is so that we can binge, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if you've heard the newest Lotso, but I've lost at least 10 pounds since I've been here. Yeah.
I did hear the newest Lotso, but I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Good for you.
I'm trying.
Wow, that's good. 10 pounds, that's significant.
Yeah. Well, it's just a guess. I think it's more than that, but I don't like to overestimate because then it keeps me more honest. So it's at least 10. It might be more. But anyway, what happened was we were sitting at my kitchen table, which is not my kitchen, it's a dining room, my dining room table, and I was messing off my tablet, and I went on Twitter, and Gavin from Poking It With a Stick had put some pictures up.
Yes.
And it said, don't they look cuddly? Well, I didn't read the whole thing. I didn't see the not safe for
right.
And so my mother-in-law is like less than a foot away from me. I clicked on the picture, and all of a sudden, these two dicks are like, oh my God. I slammed my hand down so fast. I don't know if she figured what the hell is her problem. She wasn't paying close enough attention, but oh my God, I about died. Like, yeah. Oh Jesus. What you looking at there, Brenda? Oh, just a couple of dicks, you know, the usual.
Just a couple of cuddly bears.
Oh, God. It was just their chests and their penises.
Right.
So anyway.
I know the picture well.
Oh, you studied it. You did some independent study yourself, huh?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
But you didn't get busted.
I don't think so.
Close.
It was close. I'm surprised she didn't say, why did you just slam your hand down on your tablet? Because there was nothing subtle about it. I just saw it and went, oh, shit. I didn't say shit, but I just took my hand and went, honk. And then I was trying to use my other hand. Escape! Escape! Get this away from here.
Now, let's just back up a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why were you camped out at the Taco Bell avoiding your in-laws?
I don't know if you remember in some of my previous episodes when me and Eric first got married. Very early on, they kind of determined that they didn't like me. They offered to help Eric get a divorce with him. Do you don't remember that?
No, I don't. Well, I do recall some of this, yes.
Yeah, so within like the first 6 or 7 months we were married, they like asked him to come home to their place and said, you know, if you want to help to get out of this marriage, we'll help you. And I found that out about that years later, Eric told me. And I always knew that they didn't like me because when we lived with them, they just did a lot of really kind of, I guess, white, trashy, immature things. Mm-hmm. And when I found out about that, it's really been kind of no going back.
Right.
So I can't forgive them, basically. And when Eric said they were coming, he didn't tell me ahead of time. He didn't ask me. He didn't say, hey, do you care if I ask my folks up this weekend? He just said, oh, yeah, I talked to my mom and my parents are coming up. I would ask. So Friday night, I came home after cleaning all day and I cleaned my house. And he wasn't even here helping me. He was doing something. And finally came home and he's like, he said something. I can't remember. I was in a bad mood. And he goes, like, what's wrong? And I said, you know, I resent cleaning for people that don't even like me. And the next morning, we were bickering because I was just stressed out. And at one point, I just said, you know, they're not coming to see me. They're coming to see you. So if I want to go and go to the grocery store, just let me do it. So he was here, and they were going to come. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the pool. And then I just milked it. I didn't come home for about 4 hours. And then I was just sitting in the Taco Bell parking lot trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was hiding in the Taco Bell.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry that they're such, that they're like that.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, like, I noticed, you know, every couple kind of, usually when you've been together for a long time, you'll say stuff to each other that you maybe never would have said with even the first 5 years. So, like, we were sitting at breakfast this morning and or last night too, and I said something. It was kind of sarcastic, snotty, and about Eric, and his mom just immediately defended him.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's good. I mean, I was like, well, that's the way it should be. But Eric does that to me and in front of my folks, and everybody just is quiet. So I wasn't mad about it. I just thought, oh, well, that's the way it should be. She should defend her son, you know. That's fine. I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what we say in the gay world here?
Huh.
Is that you can't choose your family.
Mm-mm. You can't.
And in fact, we sort of do choose our family. Our friends become our family. We have much stronger bonds with the people we choose to have in our lives than we do with our family, because we are often persecuted by our families. So it sounds to me like that you're going through a bit of that too.
Yeah. It doesn't bode well that Eric is the only son and I never had any kids for him.
Oh, I see. They're not impressed by that.
No, that's a big thing. And you know, even his nieces have said, you know, many years ago, when they were probably like too young to really form these kind of thoughts. So, you know, they got it from their parents, which have been his sister and brother-in-law, saying stuff like, well, I'm so sad. I don't have any cousins. It was just weird the way she said it, you know.
Well, they're gone now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gone. My body did respond as it usually does. Seized up. No, but they're gone. When you were talking on your show, when you were reading that letter, your email from your dad, and right. Then you put it into context of 20, 25 years of this kind of talk, I thought how restrained you were in your response. I just thought, I thought it was perfect. I told you that in a little message I sent you. I didn't know how you took that. I meant it. How did you take that? What I said?
No, I took it in the most positive and supportive way.
You sounded like, listen, Dad, I'm a grown-ass man. I love you. You're welcome here. But we're not playing this game anymore.
Right.
And I was like, that's perfect. It shows you respect. And
yeah, and you know, for the longest time, I've let them, my family, have their way. I've let them think the way they think. I've let them, you know, not support my relationship. And I've let them duck out and hide and not be involved in my life. And I've allowed them to do that. And now it's, you know, it's 25 or so years later that we've all had to deal with this homosexuality thing, and I've had to deal with their religious take on it and their unsupportive view of my lifestyle, quote, they like to use that word, lifestyle. And I think I've been I think I've been pretty lenient, and I've taken it on the chin for a long time, and I'm done with that. And so, like you say, as I said to my dad, you're allowed to have your opinions. I respect that. But I'm not playing this game anymore. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in a heterosexual marriage, one of the things that comes right out of the Bible that I believe says that when you get married, you leave your family and child ways behind you, right? So if you had married a woman and they didn't approve of her, according to what I understand from the Bible would say, well, then you leave that family behind because now this new woman is your family. So you're being very biblical in a way by saying, listen, Mr. Anderson is my family, and if you can't support that, then I guess I'm moving on. This is my new family.
Yeah.
So,
you know, families are difficult animals. We always seem to have a strong sense of that we should respect our elders, and you know, mothers and fathers are the heads of the family, and we should do whatever we can to heed their word. And I don't know, that's not necessarily true. I mean, at some point you have to become an independent person, right? And you have to leave your family behind. It would be nice if my family were more involved in my life. I think that would be terrific, and I would welcome them. And you know, I don't know why they're so afraid to be involved in my life, or why they choose to hold me at arm's length, because I really feel that for them, I am on the fringes. I am like some sort of dangerous commodity. I'm like a stick of dynamite or something, and they don't want to get too close to me.
Are you a loose cannon?
Perhaps I am. And that's really unfortunate, because I think my family are quite exceptional people. They're fun and entertaining, and they're good people. They're good-hearted people. And I would love to spend more time with them, but you know, I don't know. I guess I don't meet their criteria, unfortunately. So what do you do? What are you going to do, Brenda?
I don't know. I've been trying to fit into my family since I was a little kid too. It's interesting because my mom was so disengaged when she was raising me. For I don't know what reason, she's a person. She can have her own issues. She got married very young, so I don't know if that was part of it, or if she just was like, ugh, this is not what I thought it was going to be, or what. But, you know, there was a long time there that I kind of replaced my one sister, as she very much became my mother figure. And I went to her for a lot of advice and whatnot. And it's funny that if you don't have those people, you're going to find them somewhere, right?
Right. You know what's frustrating for me? Yeah. I have my oldest brother. For all of my life, all of my formative years, up until when I was about 22 or 23, my oldest brother was my hero. Like, I thought that, you know, the sun rose and set around my brother. I just thought he was the most fantastic guy, and I had a great deal of respect for him. And he protected me. He took me in when I had nowhere else to go. He was sort of a father figure for me for a period of time in my life. And he was a real strong influence and a role model for me, even more so than my own father was.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out that I was gay, our relationship ended. And that was just, that was kind of devastating to me because he was so very important to me. And I don't understand, like, maybe he didn't realize how important he was to me. Maybe I never said it or expressed it. But, you know, that was really difficult for me to lose my brother and what I felt was like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad because he's a really wonderful person, if you ask me, despite his reluctance to be involved in my life. And I think I'm a pretty good person too, and I think, you know, we could have had a good relationship over the last 20 years if he wasn't such a jackass.
Me and my sister have had an up and down relationship, and we never have had like an extreme parting of the ways like that, but it was more of a trickle effect, or, you know, just dripping drip by drip, because I looked up to her too, and just all these things, different subtle and not so subtle things happen over the years where you really, you know, she's always been very important to me too. And like when I graduated high school and went to college, I went to the same school that she was going to. Big reason was because she lived in Iowa City, and almost within the same year I moved, she moved away. And that was sad to me. And then when she moved back, you know, we kind of reestablished our close relationship. But then other things happened, you know, like she was jealous because me and her boyfriend were close, and you could always tell she thought there was something weird going on. You know, and I was just like, I'm not a slut, you know, not going after your boyfriend. And I would call her, and she wouldn't answer the phone, and then I'd call her back, and I'd say, oh, did you just get home? No, I heard you call. I just didn't feel like getting up. Little things like that that just accumulate time, and I keep hitting the microphone, time and time again. It just makes you just like, ugh, why do I like you so much, and you just clearly tolerate me? So, I mean, I sound like a bellyacher. I mean, it's not like she ever said to me, Brenda, your lifestyle is ridiculous and I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not trying to compare it.
Well, just a minute, though, because my brothers never said that to me either. They just stopped communicating. So, and maybe I'm as much at fault as they are because I never banged on the door and said, why don't you like me anymore?
That's my style. That's a copyrighted Brenda Boo. Love me. Be my friend.
So I don't know who's really at fault. I mean, you know, maybe it's my fault for not pursuing a relationship, but, you know, I have a strong sense that I didn't meet their qualifications list, I guess.
Well, can I ask you this question? It's related, I think. I was trying to find some TV shows to watch. I went on Netflix, and I saw that they had the L Word. And that's been on, you know, around. And I thought, I'll watch an episode of it.
Shot in Vancouver, I might add.
Oh, yeah? Did you ever watch it?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think of it?
Some of it. It was a bit out there and too lesbianistic. Too much emotion in that show.
Too lesbianistic?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, there was a lot of lesbianism in there.
I don't have anything against lesbianism, but it was too girly. Like, you know, women have these strong emotions to things, and it was just too airy-fairy, if you ask me.
Well, I'm going to say that I watched one episode, and I was kind of, this seems to be featuring all the worst personality attributes that a woman can have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was irritated. I'm like, God, shut up already. But there was a line in it that struck me and made me think of all the guys that I hang around with. It was the first episode, and they were at a party, and this one couple, the Jennifer Beals couple, they wanted to get some guy to donate sperm. So they had invited a bunch of straight people. And the girl who was the professional tennis player said, why'd you invite all these stupid straight people? And now I have to act like blah, 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 whatever she said. I can't remember. And I just thought, I wonder if Faye feels like that. Like, does he feel like he has to act differently around even his straight friends versus his gay friends?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Why do you feel that way?
Well, not all my straight friends, but because gay people have this stereotype about them that everyone expects them to act, you know, the gay couple to be a certain way. And I think gay people in their natural environment, they're unique. And, I mean, we're dirty pigs, is what I'm trying to say.
Dirty pigs and...
Like we're sexually charged. A lot of the commentary we make is about, you know, how hot a guy might be. And if I'm with a straight couple, I will completely tone down my gayness, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially a straight couple that I think are not very well acquainted with the gay lifestyle. So I am very tuned in to who's around me and as it regards to how gay I am, which is kind of a bad thing because I think we should all be like Donna Sugars, you know, and like totally over the top. But I don't think we always have the freedom to be that way. And part of the reason is that I don't want to scare people off.
Mm-hmm. Do you butch it up when you're around me?
Not around you, no.
When I was listening to you talking to Scotty after his visit and then versus our visit, you seemed really relaxed and everything, and I thought, I hope that wasn't the case. Like, you felt like, oh, I've got these straight people in my house and I gotta be boring, you know, and you weren't boring, but you know, you gotta tone it down and whatnot. And I was just, because I want you to feel like you can just be yourself around me.
Yeah, no, you are not one of my censored couples.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, because you know, you met me as the Faye driver, mm-hmm. and the Faye driver is the gayest I can possibly be, I think. So I'm not afraid of you.
Okay, good. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to feel drained after they've been around me. Sometimes I feel like, I really feel like this puppy that's been in a crate all day long, and then I finally get to come, I get out of the crate, and I'm just up in everybody's shit. You know, hey, hi, hi, what you doing? Hi, hi, hi. And everyone's like, all right, puppy, sit, calm down. I've been working all day. I'll get to you in a minute. You know, just like, and I'm like, hey, hey, hey. And I know that's exhausting.
Oh, Brenda.
What?
I don't know. It's in a way, it's quite accurate. You are like that.
So I mean, I don't mean to be that way. It takes everything out of me to be relaxed because my normal state is just kind of.
I know you're like on a cat up a tree or something.
Well, I mean, left to my own devices, I'm pretty. When I wake up, I'm in a good mood. I'm ready to talk right away.
Like, let's talk about this, because you've been putting out a couple of episodes recently that are causing concern for me, anyway.
What?
You put this episode out about Everybody Loves Marcia or whatever. What was the title?
Oh, I was channeling the Brady Bunch. Everybody Loves Marcia Better. That's what it titled it, I think.
And that was pretty, you were very honest in that episode.
I don't even remember what I said now, because I've been thinking about I wanted to talk to you about tonight. What did I even say? I mean, I know I meant it, I just...
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not sure I even remember, but you were going on about how...
Oh, I get jealous. I was talking about being jealous.
Yeah, you were talking about being jealous, and you're too involved in... You got to step out of your head, Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
You are revolving around in a never-ending merry-go-round inside your head.
It's true. Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know. You need a hobby or something, because you can't make your hobby Brenda Boo, because it drives you crazy.
Yeah.
And you were also talking on your written blog about being a possum.
Mm-hmm.
You related, in your written blog, you related the stories that you discussed in the last Lotzel episode about the incident at the pool with the woman that you bumped and she freaked out.
She did. Oh my God, she freaked out.
That's horrible. For starters, I think that's horrible that she freaked out.
Yeah.
But...
And my sister. Quitting my sister.
Quitting your sister.
God, texting the wrong person.
Right.
Dear Lord.
We worry about you, Brenda.
Why? Why does that worry you so much? I mean, I don't want to be the one that everybody worries about. Why did... Because I reacted so strongly, or what?
Well, it's just that I think you take things too close to heart. And you overanalyze, Brenda. You're always overanalyzing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Happens in your life, and you've got to stop doing that. You know, we've kind of talked about this before in the past. People say things, mean things. You know what the problem is? The world is filled with assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And I encounter assholes every day, and sometimes I am the asshole. I called somebody a jackass a couple of days ago because they were driving on the wrong side of the road. And, and they fingered me. Their response was to finger me, and I think they shouted, "Fuck you," and they fingered me. And, okay, you know, I thought they were wrong. They thought I was wrong. But ultimately, like, life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So the world is filled with assholes, and I think we can't over... analyze and take too closely to heart the assholes of the world. You have to insulate yourself from the quote-unquote bad things that happen to you and move on with your life. And I recognize that the woman in the pool yelling at you for, you know, touching her inappropriately.
I think I'm going to call her next week.
that's a terrible... I mean, that's a horrible thing for her to do, and completely uncalled for. And I know you took it very personally. And, you know, it's easy... I guess it's easy for me to sit here 2,000 miles away and say, "Oh, Brenda, you shouldn't take those people too seriously." But I wish that you wouldn't get so wrapped up in that kind of bullshit minutia of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do that a lot. You're always getting wrapped up in the little things that people that you even hardly even know or don't know at all do or say, or the things that you perceive them to be thinking about you. Because I think you make up these stories in your head about what someone is thinking about you.
A good backstory is very important.
That's it. You're always writing these backstories for these people. And I don't have a backstory for the guy that fingered me when I called him a jackass. Yeah. I mean, I just think he's a jackass, and he thinks I'm a jackass, so we're both a bunch of jackasses. Mm-hmm. And life goes on. Like, you got to let it go, Brenda.
Well, I can tell you that when I was younger, I was kind of in my own little world, and I kind of didn't give a shit about anybody else. I was pretty oblivious. Mm-hmm. And some things happened that made me realize maybe I wasn't being very sensitive and that I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. And I think cumulative life experience has made me go too far the other way. Mm-hmm. And I know that part of the reason it bugs me so much is because I've created the standards for my own behavior that are so much higher than everybody else, that's what I'm pissed about. In my mind, I'm like, I can't fucking act like that. Why do you get to? And that's when I start ruminating and creating these backstories, because I've set this standard for myself that is probably unachievable by anybody else, but I've decided that that's the way I need to be.
Mm-hmm. But I support that. I think we have to have an extremely high opinion of ourselves. In fact,
not opinion, not a high opinion, high standards of behavior. Let's say if somebody hurt my, somebody said something that offended me, and I wanted to say something back on Twitter, just as example, mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that because I'm better than them. So I guess it is kind of an ego thing. I do think I'm better than a lot of fucking people. Why do they get away with that shit? So I guess there's some ego there, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, well, and I think that's fine. I think we have to, we as humans, in order to survive in this world, we need to have an opinion that we are a better person. We are the highest value. We are the most important person in the world. I refer you back to episode 90 of the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. I am the most amazing person that I know. And I think we need to be the most amazing person that we know, because we should be, because I think we should hold ourselves by a higher standard than we hold everybody else. Otherwise, you're just a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. I think that I have a pretty high empathy level, right? I feel like that I can, I'm not saying that I'm psychic, but if you tell me about your struggles, I can usually genuinely feel empathy for you, right? I feel like I'm not getting that back in a lot of ways, and that frustrates me. And I feel like, why don't you have the same conscience that I have? I basically have, in a lot of ways, I have all the religious guilt that you have or been subjected to without any of the scripture. Because my parents aren't religious, but they very much conduct their lives like religious people. So I have all the guilt. I know I drive myself crazy.
I wanted to reach through the iPod and smack you.
For what?
for that Marcia episode. Because you were just so self-involved, Brenda. You were just rattling around inside your own experience in your own head and going on about how the world is down on the Brenda Boo. And you know, I think it's fine for us to feel that way once in a while. But I think you feel it too much. And you've got to give yourself a break. You've got to recognize that the Brenda Boo is a good person. And they're not... Brenda Boo is not that person that you perceive everybody sees you as being. You've got to stop writing stories about yourself through the eyes of other people.
I'm sorry that it made you mad. It's funny that you say that, because one of the ideas I had for our show was a segment where you would say, I haven't come up with a name for it yet, but basically me doing something and you wanted to tell me about it.
The what?
It'll be like the Listen Here, Missy segment.
Oh, yeah. Listen Here, Missy.
Where I've got my eye on you, Missy.
That's a good one.
So this is the Listen Here, Missy segment, the very first one.
Oh, do you have a list already?
No, the one you just said. Okay, okay. No, you have... I can't come up with it. You're going to have to come up with these.
All right. Oh, I won't have any problem. Trust me.
How dare you? Well, how do you go through life and not worry about shit so much? Because, I mean, when I was at your house... And we reached that day five, and day four or five we'd been there, and you needed that day off. You had no problem. You practically pushed us out into the little green truck with the heart, big heart, and said, "All right, you need to leave my house now. Please leave." There was no guilt in your eyes. I've made arrangements. Here's the printed directions. Go, go, go. It's not that I blamed you. I mean, because it's hard to have people in your house like that day after day after day.
Yeah, but I also recognize, I understand what I need to maintain my own sanity as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, how come you never have guilt about that?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Perfect.
I'm very... Maybe I'm just heartless. I don't know. I never considered your feelings when I asked you to get the fuck out of my house for 8 hours.
Then you made me come back so late that we, you know, the road was closed. Did you do that, Faye? You went out there and you put that barrier up and said, "I'm going to lose these sons of bitches one way or the other."
No, come on now.
I'm joking.
I have my own needs. I understand that I have my own needs and desires, and I'm not afraid to go after them and protect my own health and well-being, I guess. I mean, you could look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was trying to protect myself from you, but I had, you know, it's fine for people to come visit, but along with people coming to visit you, I still have responsibilities and things, and I use that day to do chores and look after business and to accomplish some goals that would have been very difficult if you were here tagging, you know, following behind at my heels. So
I don't even know where you're getting that from. I don't feel like I followed you around like a puppy.
No, I know, but...
I did. I did do that, though.
Well, sure, but... And not that that was a problem. I probably could have done things, but you would have been sitting in the living room twiddling your thumbs and going, "What are you going to do today?" It was much better that you were out being entertained by Mark.
Oh, yeah.
While I was ironing shirts and folding laundry or whatever the hell I was doing that day and paying bills.
Maybe that's a bad example.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm fairly driven. I don't settle for things. I go after the things that I want. So, you know, I mean, you interpret me telling you to go away and go to Mark's house as get the hell out of my face. That's not really what it was.
No.
What it really was I got shit to do, and you can sit here and wait while I look after my own business, or you can go do something else and entertain yourself and have a better time. So I don't think I was wrong in asking you to leave. I wasn't forcing you to go.
I didn't even feel like you asked us to leave. I think it was like, I thought we just kind of, we were planning on spending the day with Mark, and you were just like, "I'm not going to come." And never, you know, in your mind you might have been thinking, "Get out," but it didn't feel like that at the time. I was really kind of teasing when I said that.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of planned in advance, and I expected to be spending the day by myself, and I had intended for you guys to go off on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look after things, you know, my own personal life. So, yeah, you know, we joke about it, but in reality, it was just the logical thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just like to tease you when I texted you at 9 o'clock at night. Can right. I come I back have, now? No. Give me another hour. Okay, so in that same line, now, like, it seems like to me, people who don't care if people are clamoring around them, seems like they get all kinds of attention. Like, you have a very, your presence in Pride 48 is, everybody loves Faye. Everybody thinks you're nice, and then I promptly say, now, let me tell you the real story. No, I never say that. But, like, I know that, like, I've gotten you mad at me before because when you've done your, see, when you've done your garage shows and you've invited Eric and then you don't invite me.
Right.
In my mind, I'm like, I would never deny Faye being on my show. I would want him there. That's what I always think. Like, I always want Faye and Mark and everybody on my show if they want to be there. And then I always think, why doesn't he?
Well, just a minute. just a minute, Missy. Now, listen. Your Brenda Boo, the Brenda Boo Enterprise, you've got, hello again, it's Brenda Boo. You've got Doc Talk with Mark, Musing Mark.
Mm-hmm. You've
got Lotzel with five other personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And what is there anything other show you have? Oh, that Drive Time to Nopa with the Faye Driver.
Mm-hmm.
So your presence on the internet is four times as much as the Faye Driver.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why, and you know, we make a bit of a show of this, whenever you appear to just show up on the Pink Willet's Garage, I give you a hard time because it's a show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in fun, really. But really, you're inundating the interwebs with your empire of the Brenda Boo shows. So you don't need any more advertising from
That's Pink not Willet. How I think of it. I don't think of it as... No, I mean, I understand, but I'm saying when I've acted like a big baby, I've always just thought, why doesn't he want me there? I want him around me. Why doesn't he want me there? I understand that it's not about companionship and whatnot. It's about collecting a group of different people, blah, blah, blah. But that's the little whiny baby. That's the little puppy in me going, I want to be there, too.
I know. I know it is, and I respect that, but... You can't. You
can't
allow it. You can't always be. You can't have everything you want.
I don't get very much of what I want.
Yet you always work your way in.
What are you talking about?
You are the most. How shall I say it? You are very good at getting the things you want out of life.
Why does it feel like... I don't feel like I do. I think you're crazy. I don't have the clothes I want. You know, just the other day, Peter was said something to me about the fact that I have that stupid dollhouse in the house that I made. And he's like, you know, you got a dollhouse in your place. And I was like, it's because I ain't got no goddamn money. If I had some money, shit would be way different. I would be dressing different. I'd have a different car. I'd have my house decorated in a different way. I'm going for quirky because that's what I'm dealt with. That's the money I have. And he's like, all right, I suppose. So, I have lots of wants.
Sure. But, we all have wants.
Yeah. Wants are what make people the most unhappy, I think. Wanting and not getting. That's why Buddhists don't want anything. It's more content to just think, if it comes my way. But it's hard to be the human animal and not want.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, but so you didn't answer my question. Why do you think somebody like you, when you pop up on Twitter, everybody pees their pants? They're so happy to see you. And you don't seem to want anybody's attention.
Because I'm an introvert at heart, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't know if you are an introvert. I think you're the opposite of me, in a way. I think maybe that's why we get along so well.
You don't think I'm shy?
You claim to be shy, but you found your little garden. You found your little garden in Twitter. You found your little garden in the Brenda Boo Enterprise of podcasts. And you have to admit, nobody else is doing four shows, Brenda. Do you know of any other podcaster doing four shows? I think you found your little garden, and inside your garden, you're not shy at all. You have this outlet now. You have your following of people, and you spout off all the time to people on Twitter, and you have your little shows, all your little shows with the various people. So I don't think you're shy at all. You might be shy outside of Brenda Boo Incorporated. In the real world, you're shy in the pool.
Yes. I'll take my board and I'll be on my way.
You know, you're pretty hard to pin down or to shut down.
The reason I have so many different facets to my show is because they're things that I'm genuinely interested in.
Yeah, and I'm genuinely interested in things too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, whenever you talk to me about this, I always think you feel like it's because I want the attention. It's like I told the guys on Lotsel, and the reason why I asked you to do Drive Time to Nopa with me, first and foremost, it's an excuse to be able to talk to you once a month or right. more.
Right. But more.
And then, like, the guys with Lotsel, just want them to show up and talk to me.
Lotsel is a smash hit. You can't deny it. It's a terrific show. And I think, you know, you and the collective you, I mean, the Lotsel group, needs to be commended for that show. And, you know, I think you have a lot, you have a lot going for yourself, Brenda. You've got a lot of hit shows here. Doc Talk is fantastic. I think Drive Time Snopa is by far the best show on the internet.
It is.
Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. But no, seriously. I mean, you've got a lot of good shows going for you.
But, I mean, everybody on Lotsel, the things that I like about those guys is that, and you're included, is that you're smart, you're funny, and you have a heart. That's a very rare combination in people. So that's where I think the chemistry comes from.
Brenda, you know, you're an amazing and fantastic person, and I want to bring this back to, you know, everybody likes Marcia better, because you cause quite a bit of concern for the people who really care about you when you go on about, you know, how life treats you.
Okay, like on the blog, I just allowed myself to express how I was feeling in those moments. But at the very end of the blog, I said I had an epiphany where I can't continue to do this. I can't continue to be a possum. And that's why I said, besides, how many live possums do you see? I said that because possums don't know. Their method of protecting themselves from enemies by playing dead is not going to keep them alive. That's why I said it, like, I don't want to be a dead possum on the side of the road.
Yeah.
When I do those solo podcasts and I'm just allowing myself to be as honest as I can, it's kind of like therapy for me. Instead of paying somebody to listen, I just talk to myself, and that's when I process it. So I don't mean to upset anybody, and I don't mean to make anybody sad or whatever in my regard, but it just helps to get it out of my head and just go kind of puke it out, you know, verbally speaking.
Right. Sure. I understand that. And that's good. As long as you maintain that after you puke it out, you move on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You become a better person after the fact, after the story, then I will accept that.
It just takes a while to retrain your brain to let shit go. It's kind of, I think I have an addict's brain in a lot of ways, because I smoked for a long time, and when I quit smoking, I realized that the smoking I was doing was just this huge nonstop distraction from what was going on in my life. So, I mean, I definitely have this kind of addictive personality type.
Right.
I mean, can you say that there's things in your life that you don't feel kind of addicted to?
No, absolutely. I am completely addicted to many things.
Such as?
Well, I don't know if I want to say.
Not fair. Not fair. I borrow my... Just say one or two things. You pick the most benign ones.
Sex?
No.
Adrenaline?
I knew the adrenaline one.
Yeah, those are the major ones.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this question. Remember Pride 48, 2012?
Remember? Yeah.
Why did you drag those pieces of steel all the way from Vancouver to Las Vegas to show me? Or do you travel with them?
That was comedic effect, or that was like shock value,
okay.
Shock factor.
That's what I figure.
But then again, on the other hand, you never know what kind of equipment you need.
That's enough. Stop.
So, you asked.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know. Jesus.
As a good Boy Scout, you need to be prepared for any kind of situation. So,
I wish I'd had the guts at the time. If I wish I'd known you better, I would have taken that bag and ripped open the zipper. So it's in there. Oh, that would have been some shock value, I think.
it's all part of showmanship, right? I mean, you've got to give a guy, you've got to tip your hat to showmanship. I mean, the whole concept of wondering what is in the bag, I mean, it's like the tease that the newscasters do.
Oh, yeah. Left.
Your pineapple could kill you. Find out how at 11. Right?
Right. When you were talking to Scotty about him buying some pleasure devices, was that at the same bookstore that we went to?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Was it? And I have to ask you, you said on your show that you put some stickers that would indicate that you were gay. Are these actual bumper stickers, or are they like the clings that go in the window?
Yeah, they're little stickers. They're pride flag stickers. You know, the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
The seven colors of the rainbow, or the six colors, whatever they are.
Right.
All my cars have, well, not all of them, I guess, but I always like to put some sort of pride flag indicator on my car.
But are they actual bumper stickers?
No, it's just a tiny little sticker that I put on my license plate, in fact, for this new car.
Okay.
They're just like a 1-inch by 1-inch sticker. It's pretty subtle.
No, I you could put a, you know, as big as your trunk. I just couldn't imagine that you were putting stickers on this car.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, it would never be on the bumper.
Yeah. No. You threw me. I even said something to Eric. I was like, Faye said he put a sticker on his car. And he's like, what? I was like, I know. What's going on?
No, just on the license plate. And I usually, most of the time, I just cover, you know, our license plates have a little BC flag on them.
Oh, that's usually cute.
I cover the BC flag with my gay pride sticker, but
I like
not
that.
Exactly in this case, but that's about the size of it.
Hey, I have a random fact to tell you. it just reminded me of, you know, Uber facts. I follow him on Twitter, and it said that Justin Bieber, your favorite, has more Twitter followers than Canada has residents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber rocks.
Have you used any of your Justin Bieber duct tape yet?
No, I keep that Justin Bieber duct tape in my safe.
In your safe? In case somebody tries to rob you, they won't get it.
That's right. It's very, very cherished, my Justin Bieber. I only ever take it out for when I need to talk somebody up.
Oh. Please stop. Please stop. I also noticed something else when you're talking to Scotty. You're like, okay, now what's your safety word? The intro was, you said, what's your safety word? And you came up with a safety word very quickly, and I thought, oh, dear Lord. What in the hell?
Ass in a basket. That's my safety word. Not that. It's Athabasca.
So, if you and Mr. Anderson are sitting in there, and you're like, that's it, I can't take any more American Idol tonight. Ass in a basket.
Athabasca!
Well, you both should have your own remote. You shouldn't have to have a safety word to change the channel.
That's true, yeah.
Let's go on to this other subject of your Faye Driver persona. Mm-hmm. Well, and go ahead.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you and I, we present ourselves on our shows as these personas. You know, quite often we're asked, how honest are you being on your show? Like you just asked the question, how much of your show is for show and how much is reality? And I think that the Faye Driver is the most honest portrayal of myself that there is. I have a lot of different hats that I wear in my life. Sometimes I'm the Faye Driver. Sometimes I'm Ange in BC. Sometimes I'm the fireman, and I think the Faye Driver is the most honest and true representation of myself that is out there. I have very close personal friends, such as the Batgirl, who know my personal life that my pinkies have no idea about, but yet I feel there are some people in the Pink Wheel Nuts realm that know me much better than the Batgirl does.
Well, you met the Batgirl at a job, so I'm sure that you were holding back from the get-go because it's in a work environment, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, you don't, even when you work with somebody, you have your work face, and then you went beyond your work face with her, but I mean...
But not even... so much so as, you know, like one of my most recent episodes on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, I share this problem I'm having with my dad and his acceptance of my marriage to my new husband. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't share that kind of stuff with the Batgirl or with very many people in my real life. Whole raft of listeners out there who know many more intimate details about my life than some of my closest friends.
Well, I was really proud of you that you shared that, because I know you have a very strong edit button, and you don't want to feel vulnerable, and I thought that was great that you trusted yourself to share that. So I was really, you know, I don't mean to sound condescending, but I was really proud of you. I was like, that's I thought you took your show to a different and bigger, higher level of sharing. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I mean, you know, you've been pulling me out of the closet, kicking and screaming on these bloody Drive Time to Nopa shows, too, where you keep poking and prodding and making me tell my little stories, my personal stories, that I wouldn't probably share on Pink Wheel Nuts. You know, I kind of credit you with forcing me to, quote-unquote, come out of the closet about my personal life. And, you know, I feel that it, maybe it's time to let the world see more of the Fey driver. So you deserve the kudos for that.
I always felt like when we first started that, because just for an example, when I worked at Pizza Hut a long time ago, there was this girl, Terry, and she was a very outgoing girl, and she's immediately kind of decided we're friends. And I can remember her just talking to me just like real, not aggressively, but just like she made this assumption like, hey, I'm going to be your friend. I like you. And I thought, wow, this is something new and different. And with you, I think I did that too. I just, the minute I met you, I'm like, I want him to be my friend. I don't know if he's going to participate, but I'm going to treat you as such. So when we started doing these Drive Time Tanopas, I remember just talking to you like, I'm just assuming that whatever I ask, you'll answer these questions. And sometimes I felt like we'd do a show and it would come out and then you're like, what? In your mind, you're like, what the fuck did I do? And you would kind of like be quiet for a while. Mm-hmm. And then
that's a very accurate assessment.
So like you would let yourself go a little bit and then you'd pull back. And then a week would pass and I'd hear from you. And then when we do the next one, you let a little bit go. Because I can always tell when you're willing to really open up. When you're talking, when you're holding back, you always say, you speak kind of like in the third person. And you do a lot of shoulds. I think a person should, and da-da-da-da. When you speak in eyes, I know you're feeling more open to sharing and stuff.
All right.
But
I'm going to note that. I'm never talking again. Third person.
Oh, no.
Oh, Brenda. Okay. All right. So, listen.
Listen.
We've talked
Uh-oh.
Enough. Here. Listen to me, Missy.
Listen up, he says.
I'm to bring the Drive Time to Nova 12 to a close. So, should we tell people how they can reach us on Drive Time to Nova?
Well, they... I can tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
They can write us at a Gmail account that nobody bothers with. It's fayandbrenda@gmail.com. And there's a phone number that nobody calls.
I know the phone number this time.
Okay, let's hear it.
You can call us at 319-535-0266. That's 319-535-0BOO.
Mm-hmm, very good. Yep, nobody calls it, but it's there, so do what you will with it, I guess.
We should thank Toppy Smelly for saying such nice comments about us on one of his most recent episodes about the move.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. So until next time, we'll meet you back here at the Jim Butler Studio at the Mitzvah Hotel.
I'm the Fey Driver.
And I'm Brenda Boo.
You've been listening to Drive Time to Nopa on KFAB Radio.